All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Time now for Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senator Jason York.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. Brent Wallace alongside Jason York, who has now reclaimed the title of smartest man in hockey because you picked all 8 first round picks properly.
I picked the 2-1 score too, Wally. You didn't see that.
No. Boston final. That was just luck, though. You knew it was going to be a 2-1 or a 1-0 game. Just nobody could score in that series. But, yep, what do they say? Even a blind squirrel finds the nut once in a while.
Nice job, anyway. We will get to round 2 in a bit, but lots to get through today. And, of course, our good friend is going to join the show and played with the Sens for 2 years over parts of 3 seasons. Really fun and engaging. And so, you know what? I'm not even going to waste any more time, Yorkie. We'll talk about our trip to Belleville later, which was exciting and fun. So lots of that to discuss. First of all, welcome to the show, Chris Campoli.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well. Transition into the professional world from playing hockey, which isn't always easy. Doing really well. Young family, 3 boys, and so beautiful wife. Really, really lucky.
Okay, so what are the ages of your kids?
So my kids are 6, 4, and 1.
Oh, okay.
So all boys, and we're in one. Yeah, we're at that age. It's never a dull moment. My wife actually is down in Florida with the youngest 2. And so it's like, I get the oldest ones. Like, what? It's quiet in here. What's going on? So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Chris, are they all going to play hockey?
So, if they want to, number one, if they want to, the oldest one does. He plays in Burlington, it's been great. I'm actually coaching, which has been a lot of fun. Great group of parents and kids, and really like is what I'm learning. It's critical to the environment for these kids to have a great experience, and want to stay in the game and want to smile and show up and smile when they leave. And so we're trying to create that here, and it's been a lot of fun.
Just wait till competitive hockey. All those smiles will go away.
Yeah, that's, that's what I hear. And
it's true.
If it was up to me, it's not going to happen that way, but we'll see. I'm probably being naive because once it gets competitive, it seems to change. But, you know, really, and, you know, York, you'd understand this. Like, once you play at the highest level, I guess in some ways you just know what it is to play for keeps, and this isn't it. You know, exactly. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's about the values the game brings to families, the kids, you know, learning to work together in a team, all these important things that you can, what I've learned, take with you and transition professionally with. You know, I have skills that some people don't have that I've worked with, and, you know, they may have PhDs. So, like, it's I don't know, it brings you a lot. You know, I see with my dad now, actually, he comes to all the games, and yeah, it's great. And so I see how happy it makes him and how much fun he had with us growing up, you know, and he gets to relive that a bit with our kids now. And so really, like, I want to create that for all the families playing. I just think we have a real opportunity to do it differently. And you know, that safe space for these kids to come, have fun, enjoy it, you know, laugh, go home, and be excited to come the next day.
Chris, there's a very jaded individual behind me listening or beside me with the glasses here.
Minor hockey. I've known you for a long time, Chris. I didn't know you were this naive. But anyway, we'll move on.
Fair. Listen.
Hey, listen, Chris.
And a lot of guys say the same thing to me, you know, that have gone through it. And I don't know.
It can happen. Haven't had to deal with parents
yet. Yeah.
I joined a board. And so I understand, like, and I went in full hoping to make things change and stuff. It is an arduous task. So I hope you can do it, because it's not all that easy. So, but I do appreciate you trying to help.
Yeah. And I've already seen situations with, you know, my nephews, and both my godsons, actually, and my wife's side, and my brother's son. And, they've had, I would say, difficult situations, and they're 6 and 7 years old. So, you know, that's when you start seeing that, it's like, well, we got a lot of work to do, you know?
Yes. So, speaking of still doing work, you're still playing. I just watched you on national television 2 weeks ago, hoisting the Allen Cup back-to-back champs. How does the party go for that?
How does the party go? Yeah. Now we're a little older now than we used to be. And, you know, my 6-year-old was with me at the party, so it changed a lot. You know, what playing senior hockey has done for me, one, I've been able to circle back with guys I grew up with playing with. One guy on our team, Brad Bonello, we grew up playing since we were 9. We're junior roommates in Erie. So we play together. He's got twin boys. I've got my son, our oldest. They're born on the same day. So, like, they become friends. So it's created the sense of coming back for me. You know, I still can play. I still can skate. You know, I feel good, knock on wood. And so it's fun to go out there and compete a little bit. It does get intense. There's no question about that. When you have a young kid who's 23 with a cage on staring at you saying, you know, I'm going to run you. I'm like, well, okay, you know, try it. Can still play and defend myself that way. But so it's a lot of fun. We have a great team, a great group of guys. And we're fortunate enough to come together and win our second Allen Cup this year. And so, you know, my son getting to come and be a part of that, you know, I may as well be playing in Ottawa for all he cares, you know, like coming to games and watching. Honestly, you know,
that's awesome.
To create that environment, that family environment, Don Robertson's done an amazing job. In Dundas, and, you know, quite honestly, if it wasn't for him, senior hockey might be dead.
Chris, I've watched some of the senior games here in Ottawa, and the amount of chirping that goes on the ice, and I don't know what it's like where you're, but I'm imagining it's similar. You must every shift have guys coming at you chirping, trying to test themselves. Like, oh my God, I when I heard you were playing, I'm like, wow, that's something.
Yeah, there's one of the great things about my career is I played somewhere, you know, like that's fact. But when you go out on the ice with these guys, you're like, you played 400-some-odd games in the NHL, now you're playing out here. Like, what do you do? You know, and so, but I love the game still. And, you know, like I said, it's more about, for me, my family and the experience and creating that for them. So, you know, in one ear, out the other. And you know.
You got a cage? You're not wearing a cage either, right?
No, I don't. No. Most guys don't, to be honest. And it's during the regular season, it's clean. You know, it's pretty good. You have the odd night where there's a goofball out there that does something stupid. But it gets intense in the Allen Cup. But to be honest, it's almost better to play that way. It's tough as a defenseman to play shitty hockey. But when guys are in positions, you can move the puck, you look up, and you got a guy. Like, you know, it's much easier to play the game. So it's fun. The competitive juices get going a bit and gets intense. And it's the oldest trophy in hockey, so pretty cool we were able to do it again.
Yeah. So anyway, congrats. I thought it was pretty neat. I was like, I had to double check and Google to make sure that was you on the ice, because I was like, he's 39, I think, right? Your birthday's July here.
Chris, did you ever play with Brad Brown? Do you know Brownie at all?
I did not play with Brad. No.
Big defenseman, Wally. He, for our NHL Sens alumni team, he wears a full cage, and Brownie's 6'5". And listens to the pod every day.
He does listen. Wally. He tells me as he walks his dog by my house. He yells
Only
at
guy with full cage on in the alumni game. Love him.
It's a cake. Chris, I get lots of questions to take you through your career. First, though, I want to just ask about the playoffs, if you've been watching. Would you trade Mitch Marner?
Oh, geez.
now, before that, I should say, Chris does work for the PA, so this might be a little harder to answer.
Yeah, might be a conflict.
Aren't you glad you came on the pod, Camper?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Thanks, Brent. Appreciate it. You always did ask the best. He always did ask the best questions after practice.
Oh, yeah.
Please clip that. We're going to use that every day of the show from now on.
So I've been watching games. One of the roles I'm in at the PA involves player communications. I've got teams I look after, the players on the teams, and four of them were in the playoffs. And so I've been watching a lot of games. You know, Toronto, there's a ton of attention on it. They did a great job getting back into the series. They're close. You know, it's hard. It really is. Like, I think of the teams we had in Ottawa. We lost in Pittsburgh in six games, and they went on to win the cup, and two of those games went to overtime. Like, it's hard to win. And so, you know, they didn't have Nylander for the first three, I think it was. They didn't have Matthews for two of those games. Like, it's a big deal. I know they won them, but it's still a big deal. And if he was playing, you know, how effective was he while he was? You know, obviously they were going through things, right? And I know every team does. That's not an excuse. To win the cup, this is part of the deal. But I think they're at a point where you may see decisions made one way or another. But, I mean, they're tough because the team's right there. And Mitch is a great player. You know, to me, the heartbeat of the team. He's a catalyst out here, creates things. Yeah. Listen, everyone's watching. I know the eyeballs are on him. The attention's turned up. The heat's turned up in the playoffs. They want more. But Mitch is a great player. 31 teams would line up to try and acquire him. You know, and and think about it this way. So if you move Mitch, like, who are you bringing back? And
that's it, right?
You spend the next... I had this conversation with Brian Murray one time. I remember it. Okay. We talked about a guy like Spez and finding a guy like Spez, how hard it is to find a guy like that. If you moved a guy like that, you spend years trying to find them again. You know, Mitch plays in every situation.
Spez had that great playoff where he really stepped up. Spez led the NHL in scoring in the playoffs that one year when Ottawa went to the finals. I always thought Spez got a little bit of a raw deal with the media, because I thought he actually, especially that when the chips were down that year, he raised his game. And you know, what was Spez, Camper? Was he like 6'3" too? Spez about 6'3", 6'2".
Spez, yeah, big guy, strong, you know.
Yeah.
Like, very competitive. you know, you didn't see it all the time on his face, but that doesn't, you know, like, very competitive, wanted to win, loved the game more than anybody. That's why he's still involved at the level he is and having the success he is post-career. So, but my point is about Mitch, I just think you spend time trying to find a guy like that again. And I don't know. I'm not so sure I would do it.
Okay. We're moving on. Out of the lockout, you play your first NHL game. This is a big night. This is opening night of the 2005 season. Chris Campoli makes his NHL debut. And what does he do? The same as Mario Lemieux, by the way, he scores on his first shot in the National Hockey League.
We couldn't get that in HD.
You're lucky I didn't get it in black and white so long ago. There it is.
Look at the jerseys. They're like bed sheets hanging off us.
What a night.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know,
awesome.
Thanks for playing that. The best thing about this, obviously, okay, first game, first shot, first goal. Amazing. But it was in Buffalo, and I grew up in Mississauga. And so I had like 60 people at that game, you know. So to be able to share it with my family was just the best feeling. So, the stars aligned that night.
That's for sure. Camper, you had a massive first year in the NHL for the Islanders. You put up like 34 points as a rookie defenseman, give or take a little bit. Like, you kind of exploded on the scene in that first year, didn't you?
I had a good season. You know, it was opportunity. It's timing, as you know, and then taking advantage of opportunity. And we had a team that was, we had hopes coming out of the lockout. We had a veteran group, I would say. I was one of, I think Robert Nilsson and Petteri Nokalainen were the two other rookies. I was one of three, and we stumbled. And so it opened up doors for young guys. And, and you know, I played with confidence. I almost didn't know any better, being 21 years old. I just went out there and played and didn't think a whole lot. And it's funny how
that works.
Best season. Yeah. Yeah. I had a couple other good ones, but that was my statistically – probably my best one, and set the stage, I guess, for me to have a decent career.
NHL. It's funny how that works, eh? When we get older and you think back, like, man, I wish I wouldn't have cared so much all the time because I would have played better. Like, you see the guys that have put up huge numbers, and I always say this. Well, you've heard me say this, where it's almost like they. It's not that they don't care, but they're not afraid of making mistakes, and they're just like you said, you just go and play.
So Erik Karlsson comes in, 18 years old. I think it was 2008 or 2009. I can't remember the year exactly. 18 years old. That guy, you know, he had a mojo like nobody else. You know, he'd be 5 minutes late to a meeting. It didn't faze him, but he went on the ice. And if he made a mistake, he would try the same play. And he's still doing the same thing today, except guess what? He got better, better, and better. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer, three-time Norris winner. Pretty cool. I got to play with him his first couple of years and you know, see it myself because he's a special person. Like, those things he did, I mean, skill-wise, I couldn't do, but mentally, I was afraid to try to do, you know?
Yeah.
If I made a mistake, I may not see the ice again. Erik, so, it was special.
Did you appreciate it when you saw him and he's late for meetings and he's this rookie that's coming in with all kinds of swagger? Or did you just want to kind of maybe slap him across the face?
I mean, at that, you just a slap in the back of the head, a little shot. But, like, you know, it was more teaching him how to be a pro. You know, he was young. And so sometimes they just don't know better, you know, like, but look at him now, you know, and Alfie was there, take him under his wing. Like he turned into, he's an incredible person. Number one, great player. I think he still makes Ottawa his home, times throughout the year he comes back. So, you know, there's a reason guys like him become that good.
I was going to save this till later in the show, but we're just going to get to it right now since we're talking about Senator players. Chris Neal and you, the names have come up together in sentences in previous shows about potential pranks. I'm just curious. By the way, this is Neeler. I don't know if Neeler's mad at you still in these pictures, but
I don't know.
Do you want to take us through your perhaps alleged prank on Neeler and the end result?
I think Mark Mathot brought this up on Spitting Chicklets because I had like 5 phone calls after that. That segment.
We've had it come up like 3 times in our show.
Really?
Smitty was just on last week. Who brought
Zach
it?
Zach was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Smitty was great.
Did he tell the so Mathot wasn't there, right? So like, he's heard like versions. It's like telephone. Right. Like, you know, by the end of it, it's like who knows what happened.
Right.
But Smitty probably may have had a pretty accurate description. Chris and I battled all the time. He played on the line with Chris Kelly and Jarkko Ruutu. And whether it was in practice, you know, being up against them, they would talk shit all the time. And I would talk shit back. Like we would give it to each other. And it was competitive. It was good. It was healthy. You know, we're all friends and had a good time with it, but we competed every day on and off the ice. Okay. It was actually a really close knit team. That team was better than a lot of people think. And so, you know, that extended to the locker room as it does for most teams. Okay. In some way, there's always some guy and I like to have fun, you know, there'd be guys that cut Neeler's socks in half and he never know who it was. It wasn't me either. You know,
you can tell us.
He'd go to put the, no, I can't. But you go put them on, and they just rip. It. Anyway, so the one time we were in the shower, and you know, we talked about respect in the workplace. This probably wasn't the best thing to do. I turned his shower knob. I meant to turn it cold. I turned it the wrong way. It went hot. He was soaping. So I left, you know, down the hall, snuck out, and all I heard was he got sculpted by the water. I guess he didn't move. Maybe he was soaping and then he walked back into it. I don't know. So the guys are laughing. We're all laughing. And he comes flying out where the sinks are, where the guys shave and clean them and whatnot. Down the hall, and I see him naked, full on suds all over him, sprinting at me. Neeler's a big guy. You know, bigger than I am, full on, like his 40 must have been 4.3 or something. Anyway, and he got to me and he suckered me in the side of the ear. He wasn't happy about it. Listen, it is what it is. We had fun with it. You know, the truth is we were going to take him to Kangaroo Court because there were other guys around and I'm not sure if Smitty was there or not, but he may have told us being standing right there, but Eric was around. Chummy was there. Chummy was right there. Chummy like got him to, and then Chummy was taking photos of my ear because it was red. And he's like, that's exhibit A for tomorrow's court case. He was going to be my lawyer, you know, but Philly and Alf, ultimately they're like, no, we can't, you know, it's not a good idea. We shouldn't do this. I'm like, all right, whatever. It was teammates being teammates. And Chris and I are friends, you know. It is what it is. It happens all the time on teams. Maybe not to that extent, but it happens.
I couldn't even imagine.
Prank Chris Neeler again?
Of course.
I don't know, man. I guess I took one. I could take another one, but he didn't hit me where he probably didn't hit me where he wanted to. So, no, probably not. I'm going to be 40. I've matured.
Come on. You're playing senior hockey. You could stand up to Neeler again. What are you thinking though? What are you thinking in the hall? Neeler's bull charging you, no gear on, full of soap. Like what's going on?
The abdominal.
I didn't know what to think, you know, and I had a towel on. Like I was like, So Yeah, there's not a whole lot of thinking you can do, Yorkie, at that point. It's just like, you know, so as a Catholic boy, sign of the cross and duck.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Chummy is Donald. Chummy. Everyone's Chum, eh? Hey, Chum. How are you?
Yeah. And you know what I found out about that? So Cy, Chris Simon used to say, Chum. I played with him in New York.
Yep.
And then I came to Ottawa from New York. It was in that trade. And Donald was there, Chummy. So what I found out when Chris Simon passed away, and it's funny how things carry forward. Mm-hmm. He played in Washington. He played in Calgary with Donald, but he played in Washington before. Dale Hunter called everyone Chum. Joe Ricci told me that story. I work with Joe at the PA now. And Joe said, you know where Chum came from? That was Dale Hunter. So it's funny how things carry forward. I don't know if it still does today, if the guys are saying that. But it did years later in Ottawa with us.
Because Chummy was with Dale, I believe, in Colorado. Is that where they were together? Because they were together, I believe.
Well, Chummy was with Cy in Calgary. And Cy was with Hunter in Washington. So maybe they played together. But I just thought it carried forward that way.
So interesting. Speaking of fighting, I don't know if you remember this. You fought a Hall of Famer in his last fight, which I was one of your second to last fights, if I'm not mistaken, in the National Hockey League. Does that ring a bell?
Mark Recchi.
Mark Recchi.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Honestly,
as to
the strongest man. Like, he grabbed me, and it was like me wrestling with my 6-year-old. That left hand, he's got on me there. I'm telling you, I can't even move. But Mark was an amazing player, competitor. He was also very good with his stick. And when we used to play them, he'd let me know he was good with his stick still every time. And finally, he got his stick into my midsection that night. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like, we can't do this anymore. Like, so we fought. I dropped my gloves. I'm like, let's go. So, you know, he probably didn't want to do it. I, at the time, didn't want to do it, but it was something that had to be done in order, you know, for us to move forward.
It's interesting. Like, he looks so strong in that. I watched the video and I'm like, he just doesn't like, he's like an ox. He just doesn't let go. But I'm curious, like, at one point did you go, I shouldn't be in this? Like, by the way, for those who watch, I don't know if there's actually any punches thrown, but he just holds you. I was just curious if you go, I shouldn't be in this.
Yeah. And I'm left-handed. I wish I had done something with my, you know, he wouldn't have known that. But that shows you the experience I had, you know, it was just one of those two guys that don't really fight a lot competing, but he just slammed me over from what I remember.
Yes. He did go on top of you, but he is just a strong individual. And I think he was 37 at the time or something to that effect. Like, it was one of his, it was his last fight. Anyway, the other play I want to ask you about is, cause I told you I'd keep you for a half hour, which is never,
it's never true. Never. Oh, by the way, Wally, before you get going.
Yeah.
Just to go back on Chummy for a sec, Dale Hunter and Chummy played together 1999 in Colorado together. Then Donald brought the Chum to Calgary with him later. And I think Simon got it from, cause Dale started it. So there's the origin of Chum, 1999 in Colorado.
I didn't know.
That's great work, Yorkie.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for, camper.
Well done.
Okay, here's the other one I want to ask about. You, I don't know if anybody else that's done this in National Hockey League history, have scored twice on the same play, which is in Columbus, if I'm not mistaken.
It's in New York.
Against Columbus.
Yeah.
You score? So, yeah, go ahead.
It was an overtime, obviously. I remember it because it was my mom's 50th birthday. And so I joined the play, you know, and the puck sitting there on a tee. And I could see it. You know, when York, you know, when you shoot and you can, the puck's got eyes, you can see it go in, but no one else really could. And the way it popped out of the net, I mean, it's just unique. You don't see a puck really do that. It's not like I shot it hard, you know, like it was a snapshot. And so I knew it was in, nobody else did. And that's why I'm reacting the way I did. And then I look up when I turn the corner here and it's right there. And I'm like, all right. And the goalie, you know, if you look at his positioning, he's like in the corner, way out. Like he knew too. He had to have known. And I just look up, the net was wide open. I thought, okay, I'm just going to bury it again. So, it'll never happen again that way. It just, it you know,
top cheese both times. Yeah. You didn't have to break stride on the first one. Yeah. Isn't that nice when it's just sitting there on a tee? Yeah. Just boom.
Three overtime winners with the Ottawa Senators, which I believe ties you with one Jason York for, game-winning goals, I should say, in Ottawa.
There you go.
That's maybe
we'll be remembered forever, Yorkie, you and I.
Yep. There we go.
So your time, you get traded to Ottawa with Mike Comrie for Dean McCammond and I believe a draft pick. Your time in Ottawa.
First rounder who ended up being Calvin DeHaan.
Is that who it ended up being? Ottawa guy, Calvin DeHaan. So were you shocked to get traded? And what was your, what was your time like in Ottawa when you played 150 games here?
So I'd requested to be traded out of New York. I just thought it was time for me to move on. I knew Ottawa needed a puck moving defenseman. And you know, that was my game. This went on for a couple months. I think they were trying to get the deal done. And New York wanted a first round pick to do it. So, you know, Brian had two of them and I think he parted with the latter of the two.
Kyle Palmieri.
It was Kyle Palmieri.
Yeah.
Okay. So, he parted with the latter of the two and, it got me to Ottawa. At the time, first round picks, there was a high price tag on them, you know, and
much more than there is today.
Yeah. You know, and puck movers, you know, puck moving defensemen came with a tag too, because the rules had changed and teams wanted to get quicker and they wanted to move the puck. They were playing a puck possession style. And I saw Ottawa as an amazing opportunity. You know, I look back at it. Quite honestly, I wish I had done more with it. You know, my first game as a Senator was on Hockey Day in Canada. I think I played like 24 minutes and change, and that was the most I ever played as a Senator. You know, why? I don't know. But I got off to a good start there. And season two struggled a bit, had some injuries. And ultimately, you know, Brian moved me out for a second rounder at a time when they were rebuilding, which I understood that was the business of the game. Those are the best teams I played for. That year we lost in the first round at Pittsburgh again. I you know, it's a fine line between winning and losing. They go on to win the cup. We lose in six. So amazing experience. Great team. Great teammates. You know, playing with a guy like Matt Karkner, a guy that was a career basically minor leaguer until 28 years old. You know, we were partners that year. That was awesome. You know, hungry guy, tough as nails, obviously, but could play. You know, and so being part of that, we had some chemistry, played well together. Fun to see him go on and do well. Playing with Sergei Gonchar there, that was great. You know, learned a lot from him. He goes on to, he's a D coach now for good reason. His knowledge and the way he sees the game is so important to pass along. And he's got a lot to offer those guys.
Did it seem complete chaotic at the time? If Corey Clouston's coming in, the team is great. It just gone to a cup final and now it seems to have lost its way completely. Did it feel a little lost?
When I got there, I was playing with players great players. We had a good team. The team was struggling badly. Corey was coaching. He was doing a decent job, I think, you know. But, like, Heater was there. You know, after that season, Danny asked to be traded. And we kind of go into spinning our wheels and some turmoil, you know. And so the team there was talented, man. And you're right, not far off that cup year. So I love playing. Like, I fit in. We need to move the puck. I could do it. And so, but then it changed. You know, Corey was a very structured coach, a good coach, a very poor communicator as a coach, I think.
He was a junior in that way, right? Like, it's his way or the highway. I felt like he wasn't much of a talker to, he wasn't a, we're not having a bunch of meetings. It's going to be, this is the way it's going to happen. And you're going to just do this.
Yeah. And it, you know, if you were under 26 years old, he yelled and screamed at you. Nicky Foligno, me, Brian Lee, Ryan Shannon, Jesse Winchester, Smitty, like, we all heard it every day. You know, we're on the ice. You know, I remember being in games and hearing him yell D to D. And I'm like, I'm looking up at the bench like, buddy, you know, can we play the game? You know, like, we're professionals.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to some degree, you have an expectation to be treated that way. And you know, so I think part of coaching is understanding how to get the most out of players, a big part. And that means knowing them, learning who they are as people, understanding how to communicate to them, times to push, times to, you know, not to. And, you know, that was probably part of the game we struggled with in those years.
You wish Brian Murray would have coached you.
Oh, I would love to play for Brian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, God bless, that seems him to be the general consensus. Yeah, yeah. People love playing for him as a coach.
I can't picture,
I love Brian, my conversations with him. You know, I,
yeah,
on a practice day, I'd go into his office and just, I'd have a question for him or something, like, spend an hour just talking to him.
Yeah.
Picking his brain, you know.
And never ask the question.
Yeah. What was I in here for?
Yeah.
Somehow I can't picture Brian yelling, D-da-dee. No. I still, come on, Clu, no. you could honestly hear Clouston from the bench yelling D to D.
Yeah, oh, you could. There was one time in Montreal, control breakout. Montreal was pressing down. I'm behind the net. Okay. And they're sitting on us. Like, their wingers had collapsed and our guys, I didn't have a lot. I tried to peel out and throw an indirect up the wall to the post guy at the far blue line for a tip, you know, tip and go. Mm-hmm. Puck jumps over a stick, icing. Corey's screaming from the bench. And, like, I'd had enough at this point. We were struggling, like, and I just shut the, I yelled it. Everyone on the ice heard it. And after the game, you know, I didn't know what they were going to say to me. I was just like, whatever. Brian, before I got unchanged, pulls me out of the room. And he says to me, I heard what you did. He goes, I'm proud of you. That needed to happen. That's what he said to me. I was like,
all right.
Hey, I guess I'm okay. You know, I don't have to worry anymore. When I came into the room, Greg Carvell was like, you got to apologize. I said, no, I'm not apologizing. I knew I had the backing of the right guy.
There you go.
So
interesting that Carvey got involved.
Did Clouston say anything?
No. Corey didn't like confrontation. There was a point that year where I was in and out of the lineup. Corey was a superstitious guy. If we won, he wasn't changing things. Hmm. You know, so Alex Picard and I sometimes would go in and out depending on Brian Lee. You know, and I was the next guy. So he takes me out. And we'd won a couple. And, you know, so one of the strategies, I think, for players when they're having a tough go and, you know, you want to understand where your coach is with you. I would go and I'd say, hey, can I sit down with you and can we watch some video? I'm out. Fine. You know, not fine for me, but fine. Okay. It's a team, right? Like, you have to remember you're trying to win. can you show me what I need to do or what I'm not doing to get back in? What do you need more of? And so I had Corey, I went through this exercise with him and it was all bullshit. You know, he showed me losing an edge in the corner and falling down. He's like, you got to be stronger. And I'm like, Corey, like, I lost an edge, Corey. You know, okay.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, that's those are some of the things that happen behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's a competitive industry. You got to win. And I get it.
Okay, Camper, why? I know you're only there for a little bit. You brought up a name there, and I always wondered about him, Brian Lee. Why do you think, maybe a little bit of a tough question. Why do you think it never worked out for him?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Brian was a good player. He had all the tools. You know, we were at a point where we were trying to win, I think. You know, it made it tough on a young guy to get into the lineup, to get that confidence. You know, Brian was a high draft pick, but I don't think when you draft defensemen in the first round, very rarely you draft in a guy that's just like stay at home. Although Jared Cowan was probably that. Nowadays you see in guys are two-way, they're puck movers. Like even a guy like Shea Weber, a big strong guy who's that shutdown, but he had offensive upside, you know. I think they thought they had that in Brian, and he didn't have those same skills. You know, Eric came in and basically took that job.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're trying to win, right? There was pressure on Brian and the team to win. And so sometimes there's just not that time for the kid to develop, you know.
He probably should have been a little longer.
Why it works and why it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but that's how I see it. Yeah. He's a good player.
Doesn't do anything. There's always those guys, the tweeners. They're good, but they don't do anything great. And then all of a sudden your window's there, somebody else comes in, it closes, and before you know it, you're out of the league.
Yeah, and we did it. We drafted, I think Brian was first, the defense was drafted. And then Eric was drafted not long after. And then Jared, I think, was after Eric. So when you start talking about drafting these defensemen, like not all of them are going to play more than likely. You know, like they're assets, of course, but difficult to see them all in the same blue line that young, you know? So.
Agreed. Last question. Sorry, Camper, I kept you longer. Why do you wear number 14? Is there any reason?
Yeah, my dad. Yeah. My old man. My old man played ball. I grew up, he was number 14. He wore 14 because of Dave Keon. He was a Leaf fan growing up. And so I wore 14 because my dad did. Yeah.
Nice. Fair enough. How did you handle the Battle of Ontario? Did your parents ever cheer for you during the Battle of Ontario?
I'll tell you what, I've got a good, pretty good story about before Battle of Ontario, but I love beating the Leafs. They didn't want me the way that's the way I viewed it. I never got an opportunity to play there. I love beating the Leafs. And I was a center. I love playing in Ottawa. You know, I love the community. I love the people, the team. We had a really close knit team. That's probably my favorite place to play. Quickly in the Leafs, if I can.
Yes.
So I'm playing in New York. You guys will remember this probably. I think it was 06 or 07 playoffs. It comes down to the last game of the regular season. Montreal's playing Toronto. If the Leafs win, they're in. We need Montreal. No, if Montreal wins, they're in. We need the Leafs to win. And then I play for the Islanders. We got to beat New Jersey the next night to leapfrog Toronto. It's very tight. So Montreal's up 4-1 in that game or something. The Leafs storm back, second half of the game win. So we have an opportunity in Long Island. That's the game where Wade Dubowitz has the poke check on Sergei Breland, I believe, to put us into the playoffs. That's also Easter Sunday that day. So my parents, you know, the Italians, they get together, whatever. They're watching the game. Everyone in Toronto is watching New York, New Jersey, Islanders, Devils, because the Devils win, the Leafs are in. Okay. People are pissed because Brodeur didn't start because the Devils were already in the playoffs. And so goes to a shootout. We win. Well, my cousins and family are, they're pissed. They're screaming. My mom gets so mad. They leave because she was cheering for us to get in the playoffs, not the Leafs, you know? So that created a little friction in the family for a bit there. That they weren't supporting me, but Leaf fans are loyal. I'll give them that.
Yes, they are.
That's so good. I flew in for that game.
Into New Jersey?
New Jersey game. Yeah.
I knew I got a couple stupid questions after the game from somebody.
Right. That's the year you guys acquired Ryan Smith, I think, at the trade deadline. Or anyway, he just shown up.
Yes. That's right. Because we made the playoffs. We played Buffalo that year in the first round, and they were a buzzsaw.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. Anyway, I didn't mean to keep you, Camper.
No, you're good.
I apologize, but thank you. I've asked you for 3 years to come on the show, so I appreciate you finally agreeing to let me.
I had to, you know, the right co-host had to be on for me to come.
See?
Perfect.
You need a guy older, that's all.
Anyway, pleasure to do it, and thank you for having me. And
that was
happy
awesome.
To do it again. Yeah.
I'll get you and Neeler on sometime.
No.
Okay.
Had to go on that back note. There.
See you, pal.
See
you. Hey, thanks, Chris. Get a soap, a soapy kneeler with just a towel on, bull charging you, and then a suckery in the ear.
I can't imagine. That would be like, I would see that in my nightmares.
Yeah. The best picture I have of dressing room prank is we had Zach Smith on in the trainer's room with the sewing machine, sewing kneeler's pockets. Got tight, and he's got lookout guys making sure dealer can't find him.
Oh, like, man. That's solid.
Like
that's a smart idea for a prank because you just can't see it coming until it's like, what the hell? Like, if you cut somebody's pants, you can see it right away.
Well, the best part is when he sewed the pockets shut, the cell phone was in there too. So the cell phone was sewed, and the dressing room stitches you use, those are used for sewing gloves and equipment. Those are hard to get off. Like, you're not
there.
That's just not a regular little needle and thread. That's the tight stuff. You need something heavy duty to get those pants open. That's so good. That was good. Camper was great.
He was great. Yeah. I got plenty of stories still to go with him, but anyway, we got to move on. I will try to get him back on. Someone also, he brought up Matt Karkner in the show. Matt's currently in the playoffs coaching with the Orlando Solar Bears. When that's done, he has agreed to come on the show.
Matt Karkner is one of the best stories to come through the Ottawa Senators franchise. It's such a good story of the years he spent in the minors and persevering. And one of the toughest players, because when he was playing here, I was doing a ton of media, doing Sportsnet between periods. Man, I loved watching Karks play. Just honest.
And that's
just honest guy. Yes.
Honest.
And appreciated and, every second of being around.
That's why it bothers me when you see some guys that complain that they're in the minors and they're not getting a chance. It's like, it's poor me.
Yeah.
Just look at Matt Parker.
Let's move. We got to move on to get some stuff in here. We're way behind. Come on.
What's going on?
This show, bro.
What are you all nervous about? What's so good? We're doing a show here.
Someday be like, it's over an hour now. You're gonna owe me more money.
I just want that.
Let's just get on with the NHL. Actually, we're gonna go to the AHL first. But this show probably presented by Betway, the official sports betting partner of the National Hockey League. Don't forget Betway's second chance playoff bracket on the NHL website. Go to NHL.com. Anyway, Betway, make it your way with Betway. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Also, by our good friends at BEI, Bonisher Excavating Inc., helping to shape the Ottawa Valley includes equipment rentals and aggregate and topsoil sales, custom crushing and screening, all the stuff you may need to start doing your landscaping now. Give them a shout if you're looking for that stuff. Also, they can gladly reseal your driveway or pave it, I should say. Give them a call, 613-432-1120, or go to bonisherexcavating.com, heavy civil general contractors. And by Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
Takes hard work and determination to bring home the cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home Wendy's rewards is eat like Cinnabon parts. Just download the Wendy's app, place your favorite order, and you'll be well on the road to victory. And by victory, you mean free food, obviously. And hey, while you're racking up rewards points and eating your way through the menu, you'll also find plenty of details along the way to keep morale high. So what are you waiting for? Download the Wendy's app today and start earning on every order. Yorkie,
we have to before we go to Belleville, we got to put a bow on the Leafs talk because I didn't want to throw Camper under the bus. He's working for the PA now. He's it's tough, right? It's tough.
When he said there's four teams that he covers or whatever it is, I was like,
yeah,
I feel like Toronto is one of those teams.
Oh no, he's great. Camper's great, but when you're working with players, it's tough. Like it's very difficult. But let's be honest here. It's time for the Leafs to make a huge decision. And for me, if I'm calling the shots there, Mitch Marner is the guy that's you're going to have to find a way how to move him out, because of all the guys, he is the guy that you have to that makes the most sense. Just can they move that? What does he make? $11 million? That's going to be
He wants. I don't know. If I keep hearing correctly, $14 million. But let me put it to you this for Yorkie. You're a player. You've watched now for a few years this Toronto team. The same argument was made about Jason Spezza when he was here.
Yeah, different
super
players.
But just ultimately high-end skill, point-per-game players. Yeah. Can you win with Mitch Marner in your lineup? Can you not make him that player that turns like...
Not at 11 million. And the point I would make is I would rather have two $5 million players that play the game, as I call it, from the tips, that are just like look at who Toronto's best player was in that series. Matthew Nyes, 6'3", 212 pounds, plays the game north-south. The problem with Mitch Marner is regular season, east-west works. Playoffs, it's north-south. You can't play east-west. And everybody thought, and I made this point when we were talking about the Leafs, when the Leafs decided to go with those four players, I won't call them the core, the big four, because you got to earn that title, big four. When they decided to go with that, everybody thought the league was going in a much softer way. And it was. Because the playoffs now, to when those changes were made, they've gone backwards into letting the players play more now. I don't know if you're seeing it is totally different. Like it is now, it's back to you got to battle for every inch of space on the ice. I remember back a few years ago, they were handing out a ton of penalties in the first round. Stick was coming, like a guy would touch his stick to a guy's pants and get a penalty. Now I'm seeing guys, like how many times are you seeing guys get destroyed from behind now?
Yeah.
But because now, like listen, NHL players know when a guy's behind them. So that you used to see net before where a guy would throw himself into the boards because knowing he's going to get a penalty. Now the refs are calling the game like it's supposed to be called. So I love it. But because of the way it's being called, a player that is smaller, that plays East-West is going to have a tough time in the playoffs. And Marner's still going to be good when he gets a power player, or but he needs space because it's just it's so difficult in the playoffs now. And that's why you see a Matthew Nyes. That's why you see Florida having so much success. That's why you see why big defensemen today, like Camper talked about back in the late 2000s when they first made those changes, they wanted defensemen that were smaller, could move the puck. Now they don't. You look at the now look at the D. Look at the D. It's long, tall, can keep guys from. Do you see how hard it was to get to the front of the net last night in the Vegas game? Like it's back because before you could get a picnic blanket, a little ball of wine, sandwiches. You could have a picnic in front of the net. They were going to a style where the D couldn't do anything in front of the net. Now it's a war zone again. Nobody can, like, it's great. It's playoffs, but that's why to me, the Toronto's not going to win with those four guys. They're not.
I just want to take exception to one of your points where you say guys are aware when players are behind them. I disagree. I believe nowadays with the league being called the way it is, with you're not allowed, like it's a lot harder to fold guys into the corner, if you will. Mm-hmm. They're not as aware. They're not as aware of people around them because they don't have to be. Because if you hit them, they get a penalty. And so I disagree sometimes with New York. That's how it was.
But now watching what's going on in the playoffs right now, guys are so aware of everything because players are smart. They adapt to the situation that the refs are calling, and everyone's adapted now to jailhouse rules on the ice once again. So I knew, like, listen, when I went into the corner, I knew when a guy was on my back, but guys adapted to a style of now drawing penalties. Turn your back, throw yourself in the, you're a professional athlete. Your skills and your senses are honed to know everything that's going on. If you don't, you shouldn't be a pro hockey player. That's why the way the game went, it was ridiculous. I love how it's being called now.
Yes, it's more in line with what people expect the game to look like, I guess.
But that's why now, like a team, because of the way Toronto's built, the only way they were having success because they changed their style. And how about that? Guy Boucher's, we haven't even talked about this. Guy Boucher's fingerprints were all over how Toronto was playing, by the way. He was coaching that team. That was Guy Boucher.
They played a much better defensive game than people give him credit for. Even I give him credit for. Like
they're playing like Ottawa did in that when Ottawa went on that deep playoff run under him. Yeah. The forward was back checking, pushing the put like they were basically cutting the ice, pushing him into the D, and they swarmed the puck with four guys. It was tough. It was tough for Boston to get any room out there. It was smothering. It was actually pretty boring hockey, to tell you the truth. It wasn't very good because there was no room, and there wasn't Boston just doesn't have the firepower either. So it was very tough for them to score.
I guess let's go back to the Nylander goal, the Pastrnak goal, the series winner. And I just saw Mike McKenna today, I think it was today, comment that it was the goalie's fault, that it was Samsonov's fault for not playing the puck. I'm just curious if you watched that. And then I saw somebody complain it was William Nylander who didn't try hard enough. But forget, they blame three Marner guys too, in the zone. So who, as a D guy, Yorkie, is somebody there to blame or is it just a play?
So here's the thing. I was always taught when you're on the ice, you got to be aware of who you're playing against. So you had Marner, you had Nylander on the ice. Is it their fault? No. It was a set play too. Like that was a set play. But if you're on the ice and you're a forward and you see, I forget his name again, Pastrnak, all you have to do is when he's winding up like that, skate in front of him. So if you, instead of everybody looking at Lindholm who has the puck, you see Pastrnak, and if whoever your wide winger is there, all he had to do was skate in front of him for a second, and then you just slow down his momentum. If you do that, and it's easier said than done, because by the time they realized what was going on, he had a step on everybody. But just if you look at Boston, to how when they play, when Charlie Coyle was on the ice, that's why he wasn't getting a lot of points. He was making sure Matthews wasn't getting open space. He was doing a shutdown job. They weren't really paying attention to Pasternak for that little split second, and that's all it took. So I would blame the forward who was closest to him, the neutral zone, should have stepped in front of him. Yeah. And then the D also being aware. So, and also the goalie. The goalie needs to make a better play. And also, he came right across on his backhand too. Great move. Not a great push off by the goalie to leave that little side. So three people all to blame for me in that situation. And listen, a great play by Pasternak to that point was having an awful series. He was not. Yep. Do you see him turn the puck over earlier in that game for the breakaway?
Yes. Like
he was rotten.
If you're getting called out by your coach and you're arguably a superstar player, you know that they've had conversations. And that, Jim Montgomery's not happy.
You and I had the debate on Pasternak. Like he's a great player, but everyone's saying, well, he needs someone to play against, needs somebody to get you the puck. I'm sorry. If you're making $11 million, I always say once you're in that stratosphere of cash, you got to make guys around you better. You shouldn't have to have somebody help you to be better. That's why McDavid, McKinnon, all those guys, they make everybody around them better. I just find that's why Pasternak, for me, awesome player, but not quite at the level of those guys.
Well, all I know is he's moving on and Austin Matthews.
Yeah. Well, hey, opportunist, right? Give him a chance and it was in. Well, great goal.
Good players find ways to win games. That's all I'm saying. How would you like to be the Dallas Stars who go from facing Vegas, who, by the way, the number one seed goes from facing Vegas to having to face Colorado?
Yeah, good luck.
By the way, here are our picks for the next round. All the same, except I took the Rangers over Carolina.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. That's the one I was torn with because I really like Shesterkin. And going from last night's game, man, Freddie Anderson was not very good. Eesh, that fourth goal, a little bit stinky. The one through the glove or through the they call that the seven hole. Yeah, Shesterkin could very well be the difference there, Wally. He is that guy is legit.
And can we let's not forget that the New York Rangers have a pretty good blue line.
Oh my God! Well, we talked about big. Long,
right?
DeAndre Miller. That guy is a horse back there. You got Truba back there. Adam Fox, one of the best defensemen in the league right now. You know, they've got a very good blue line. They've got gritty forwards and they've got high end skill. And I like Zibanejad's playing the right way now. Like that guy's playing hard,
right? Leads the team in points. He's not a hard grinding Ryan O'Reilly type. I think he doesn't get perhaps the attention he deserves, but that kid has done really good things.
He's a big horse too. Like Zibad's not a small guy.
No,
he's over 200 pounds. He's probably 6'2". Like he's a big,
great shot.
He's got guys around him and no, he's a good, like if you can't have him as your number one guy, but he's there as a great, not support player is not the right word, but he's a very good complementary player. And like you said, great shot and big.
Yeah. Okay. So do you see any surprises in the second round, by the way? You got right. Dallas, Colorado.
The
Vancouver Edmonton series is interesting to me.
Yeah. I got a hard time betting against the way McDavid and playoff Leon Draisaitl. You could make an argument that Leon Draisaitl is arguably the best player. I know people will say, well, McDavid is, but will you watch Draisaitl in tight spaces, prop protection? Man, that guy is so hard to play against. So I like Edmonton. Will their goaltending stand up? But hey, Vancouver is playing Stovos, who was, I watched this kid play in Barrie. He was my son's goalie for the Barrie Colts, and he was a very above average junior A goalie, and I'm like, we're watching the game, I'm like, this kid's starting and he's played well. So it'll be interesting to see if he holds up. I like Edmonton. Dallas, I'm not sure about, because I look at their lineup. You got a 39-year-old Ryan Suter, Thomas Hurley is a young guy back there. To me, they have a few more holes than Colorado. Yeah. But again, it's at the end of the day, it always comes down to goaltending. And there's the great equalizer for Dallas. Jake Ottinger he's all world. So yeah, it'll be a great series.
I almost switched that pick, but I was thinking Dallas has just gone 7 grueling games. Mm-hmm. Colorado's fresh. They just rolled through Winnipeg like they weren't really that hard to play against.
And Vegas didn't look right. Mark Stone's playing severely hurt right now. He's playing probably at about 60%, or was playing. Yeah. He's out now. They looked slow to me. Vegas looked slow. They looked tired. And yep. You heard Cassie talk after the series. He said nine of their guys had surgeries this year. They were tired. Wow. Like
They just looked at, like, Dallas looked to be the better team without question.
Put it this way. There's nobody right now on Vegas close to challenging defensemen with speed like Nathan MacKinnon. Like, they're going to go from like doing slow training to all of a sudden they're going to see this guy at super speed coming at them and Rantanen, and it'll be interesting to see if Dallas's D have an answer for MacKinnon.
Yes, that's the interesting part. What can they contain those guys up front? So you're pretty set before we go to lock of the day. You're pretty set that Florida will beat Boston.
Unless, well, Swayman again. We go to, it's always back to goaltending, but Bobrovsky's a great goaltender too. I just think Boston they don't have enough game breakers. They have to work so hard to score. Their power play is not very good. I just think Florida's got, they're much deeper, just as big, yeah, and they got way more game breakers. I unless Swayman plays out of his mind, I can't see Florida losing that series. They shouldn't. Listen, if Florida loses this series and something has gone terribly wrong, injuries or whatever, I can't see Boston. I know I'm all over the map here. Did you see Matthew Tkachuk's comments last night?
No.
He's like, he was doing his press conference, and this is perfect. You know, it's vintage. He's always trolling. He's like, yeah, we were watching the series. It was a great series, but at the end of the day, I knew Boston was going to beat them. Just gave the Leafs no respect.
Solid.
Just trolling them for next year.
So the Bruins and Panthers played 4 games this year in the season series. What do you think the record was in the season series?
No idea. Then I don't care. What was it?
Okay, let's go to the lock of the day. The Boston Bruins went 4-0 against the Florida Panthers this season.
Crazy. Yeah.
So
I don't think it's going to matter. I just, Florida's, you got Barkov, you got Tkachuk, you got, I know Sam Bennett, he's an important guy. If he's able to come back, I know he was hurt in the first round, but that's another big, hard guy to play against. They got great D. Boston just doesn't. To me, they look slow, and they had such a tough time scoring against Toronto. Mind you, Toronto, like I said, they totally changed their system under Boucher. So it'll be interesting. But I think Florida wins this in probably 5 or 6 games.
It'll be interesting to see. So in tonight's game, who are you taking?
Well, they're going back at it tonight already.
Yeah, this is a
Boston's game one. Boston's gotta be. They're gonna have some sore guys right back at it. I'm taking Florida. That's a quick turnaround.
But Yorkie, you know, teams that play back to back the next night, they go quick. They start quick, and I'm wondering if Florida needs a little time to get up to speed and. And I think Paul Maurice won't allow them to be very slow, but Boston may have an early jump in this one. I wouldn't be shocked if Boston comes out and perhaps steals this one.
Yeah, there's something to that, but Charlie McAvoy has been playing 30 minutes a night, and it's those aren't soft minutes either. I'll just tell you, just bouncing back just a couple days later, very difficult. I'll guarantee you, McAvoy, some of those guys probably lost at least at least 5 to 7 pounds in that game. You don't gain it back right away. So your body, it's going to be very difficult. And Swayman as well. Like, you're going to want to start him, I would think. So,
No, they're going to throw everything out. They're just going to go with Ullmark to start game one, just to mess with everybody.
Well, he did. He is a Vezina Trophy winner sitting on the bench.
It's crazy.
But who knows? Like, he's going to be tired too. Like, that series took a lot out of a lot of those guys. So no, I don't see Florida having a lot of issues with Boston fatigue. And to me, they're just a much deeper team.
All right. I say Boston wins game one, but Florida will win the series.
Yeah.
Okay. Up next, Ridly Gregg is now off to the World Championships to join Team Canada. He will see three of his teammates also there, Shane Pinto, Brady Tkachuk, and Jake Sanderson for Team USA. So good for him. It'll be good to see him get some reps, get to play with some other talent and play on a world stage. That's always great for development. Like, I remember Thomas Chabot recently talking about how great it was, even for Matthew Joseph, just to play in that environment, different coaching, different systems, just a different environment. So good for him. Hope he does well.
Yeah. No, it'll help. It's always good.
Speaking of Senators still playing, the B-Sens. They have game three going on Wednesday against the Cleveland Monsters. They should have won game two, I thought. Mad Sogard. So I went to this game. Sogard.
You were there, right?
Yeah. He was phenomenal. I really, really I thought he held them in it. He looked really good. And we talk about, like, their veterans. They got, like, Garrett Pilon, who has won a Calder Cup last year with Hershey, I think it is. You can see by the way, Igor Sokolov and Angus Cruikshank, all three friends of the show, all play on the same line together. So
what a line. Wow.
Yeah, they were out first. So they did, like, you can see the guys who have the NHL experience and the NHL talent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tough loss for them. There's been a lot of chatter about Stephen Halliday.
Yes.
And he plays a fourth line role, plays on the first power play, but all he does, Yorkie, is put up points. Mm-hmm. And again, in this game, they're down a goal midway through the third. I just happened to take my phone out. I'm like, this is an important power play. And I happened to capture under Wally Vision, Stephen Halliday scoring his first pro goal. As he gets it on the power play here, it comes around the side of the net eventually, and then he pots it in. But great atmosphere. I really loved it. Like, I just thought it was a great time. Fans are great. They can leave the cowbells at home. You don't need more cowbell, but that's the only complaint I have. He just steps out here and snaps it. Boom.
He's 6'4". I didn't realize he was that big.
Great size. Yeah. And he's smart. You can see he's smart. He's got a lot of, obviously, warts of just playing from Ohio State. He's not ready to step into the National Hockey League, but he looks like a National Hockey League player. That's to me, anyway. I look forward to seeing I think in 2 years, 3 years, he's an NHL player for sure.
He put up 95 points in the USHL in June. That's the best junior hard. League. In the States, that's pretty good for that size of a guy putting up those numbers, 35 goals. So, yeah, he's like a nice big piece of clay right now you can work with and see if you can mold him into a power forward. But this, from my experience, when you get into the AHL playoffs, this is when you learn the pro game. This is when it's so valuable for players. Your game grows in leaps and bounds. When you're a young guy and you get American Hockey League playoff experience, it changed my career around. I had never played in the American League playoffs. And in my first year pro, I was a little bit fortunate. We won the championship, but I didn't get into games till later. But when I did, you grow as a player because it's just, there's something on the line and guys are at a junior in college. It's a total different animal than playoff hockey of anywhere else you played. So this is great. This is really good for a guy like Halliday, a guy like Clevin. It's really going to help in the development.
So, by the way, Jacob Larson, who's played 100 and some games, mostly in Anaheim, and has played a couple in Ottawa, he looked really, really good. Just a real stabilizing D guy.
He's got lots of experience.
I don't know. Like, from what they used this year, I think he should have probably played a few more in Ottawa, but I'd have to go back and look. I don't know about his foot speed.
What are you going to do? Like, you look at, like, he's kind of a tweener too, right? Like,
yes,
that's the thing that's so interesting about Clevin. And he's 6'4", he's massive. So you look at Larson, he doesn't have those physical attributes that Clevin does. It's kind of like when we're talking about guys like Brian Lee and those, it's what do you, you got to be really fortunate and almost lucky to become a full-time NHLer if you're a guy like Larson, because it's all about timing, right place, right time. And then you get the opportunity. Do something. You got to run with it, or the team has to win, or a lot of things have to come together for you.
So I watched Tyler Clevin, one, because, well, he's really good. Two is he's always on the ice. So him and Matt and Paolo are like the twin towers on D. They're always on the ice. But the one thing, and Jake has no fear whatsoever. He plays, he will rush the puck up the ice all day long. That's one of my issues, is that I don't know that his game management right now is very good. He loves to try and take runs at players. And so he's out of position a bit. But I think in the playoffs, you've got to maybe dial it back a bit. He's an exceptionally talented hockey player. I just wish he would perhaps get more under control that way. But I'm not knocking his game. You can see the what it's going to take to change to be an NHL regular. That's my point.
It's because you're in the American League, and every time, that's actually a really good sign, because every time you're on the ice, you're trying to prove to Ottawa, I'm going to be a difference maker. And I'll tell you, one of the best phrases of advice I got from my coach when I was playing in the American League was a guy named Joe Patterson. He was a D coach. And he said to me, he goes, "You're playing pretty good right now, aren't you?" And I was pretty happy with myself. I was leading the team in points and all this. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty good."
Did you give yourself to Barry Horowitz on the back?
Gave myself to Barry Horowitz. I'm like, "Yeah, I was pretty happy with myself." He goes, "Yeah. Fortunately, if you're good, you're not going to make the NHL. Good gets you nowhere." He goes, "You got to be great." He goes, "You got to be great. At this level, if you want to get to the pros, being the type of player you are, you got to be great." And I looked at him for a second. I'm like, something just kind of went off in my head. And then I said, "You know what? I got to push the envelope more. I have to go out and try and be a difference maker all the time. I'm not going to make it." And it was that kind of changed my thought process, because you always think you got to push yourself at that level. And yeah, you're going to make mistakes. It's better to take a guy and bring him up to the NHL and have to dial him back than to try and get more out of him.
Good point.
To me, I'm not worried about that for Clavin. He's trying to be a difference maker. He's trying to make things happen, and he's doing it in the playoffs. So to me, it's all good.
I wish everybody would watch AHL games.
Yeah, they're great.
To understand how good the National Hockey League is. It's like, we always go to that fourth line player sucks and can't play. Watch the AHL and you're like, that fourth line guy in the NHL is very good. Like, passes are on tapes, all that stuff. Like, there's a huge difference between the AHL and the NHL, obviously.
How good does the Rourke dog look down there?
He looked okay. I didn't think he had a great game, but he plays all situations. You can see his compete level is always smart. The only thing with but you know what Rourke is. He's not flashy, right? So that's the only issue. Not an issue, I guess. When you say, how did he look? He's just not flashy. So he does everything he needs to do. He just doesn't stand out that way. He's just solid. And I don't know that the AHL is for him. Like, I think he's an NHL player.
So there's the difference between a younger player and an older player that understands what they need to do. So Rourke, he goes out there and plays high risk, tries to take all these chances. They're going to say, Jesus, other teams that are watching him, we can't trust this guy. Maybe this guy isn't the guy we need to come in and be our 14th forward. But Clevin's different. He's a rookie. So you're always trying to push it. Yep. So different circumstances for different players.
So, I mean, they just look good. They look dialed in as a team for the most part. You know, Boko Mamah.
He's a menace,
I'm not convinced as an NHL player. He makes something happen, it appears, every shift. He had a really good game. But the lines between the NHL and the AHL are thin, and it just depends on what they need, right? And that's what's tough sometimes.
The biggest difference
the biggest difference between an NHL player and an AHL player, you have to process the game quicker.
And when I watch
Bolka play, I love the guy's heart. I love what he does. Looks like a great teammate. But to me, that's going to be his biggest thing. Processability. How quickly can you process the game? Because, you know what I'm talking about.
Mistakes are so much easier to make in the AHL, and you can recover a little quicker, I find. Maybe because everybody's not tape to tape with their passes and everybody's not in the right position, so you can recover. So that's one of the things. There's more
what I call chaos going on in the American Hockey League.
Yes.
There's chaos in the NHL, but it's more controlled. A lot of guys actually find it easier, depending on what style of hockey you play, to play in the NHL if you're really smart, because everybody's usually in the right spot. Where if you're in the American League, there's more chaos going on. You're like, where is that guy? He's not open, or this guy's not in his spot, or this guy, there's just way more mistakes.
That's what it was. It was like, why is that pass at his knees? Right? Or like, why is it 2 feet ahead of him? Where in the NHL, that's how you get spoiled. Yeah. It's always on the stick, or it's remote, like it's close, or the guy can pick it up. Like, that's how
you saying you can't give a good player a bad pass. There's certain guys just put it anywhere in the vicinity, they're gonna get it.
So I did love it. I will go back when they're in round three.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they can.
I'll go up with you. I want to go see a game too, if they get by this round. So
perfect. Ooh. Parking's free. You in and out quick. Oh,
bet your beers are cheaper too.
Well, I was driving, so I didn't have one, but I heard they're good. So
I thought your kid's old enough to drive. Isn't your kid old enough to drive?
Yeah, but he just got his license, so he didn't want to do a 2.5 hour drive in the dark.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Soft. He's soft. That's what connects. So it's funny because a couple of people came up to me at the game and go, oh, this is your son. He was working today. I'm like, my kid's like, what do you talk about in the show? All right, Yorkie, we're back Wednesday, 9 a.m.
Yes.
Just so people know, because the draft lottery is Tuesday night. So we'll be back Wednesday to chat about it. And I may have a special guest lined up.
9 a.m. All right. We'll see everybody then.
All right.
And go
see everybody. Thanks for watching.
Beautiful day to go out and enjoy it.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to Coming In Hot. If you enjoyed the show, hit that like button and be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.